Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
$12.59. This is the final hour of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont. Vern, you're Steve Sirtis plugging away. And this has to rank up there as an all-timer for Steve. From the 785, when I die, I want Steve to make my in memoriam montage. Let everyone at the funeral get a laugh. No respect for Esky, Serta. That was pathetic. And then to people who have just now started listening to us, thank you. Why was there a Moss home run mixed into the Escobar montage? I felt like it was really bad the first time I listened to it. And plus, I do want to get to here in a couple of minutes how I feel bad about Michael
Stockton.
He
took something from Vern's hot stove.
Did he?
Of Lee McNabb saying Alcides Escobar for the hot stove slot machine.
Hold on. There was a real weird horn.
That was the slot machine that I used on last year's Vern's hot stove.
I got to hear this again. We do this whenever we lose somebody, and it is as small as the punter, the kicker, a special teamer, a gunner. We'll cover them all. And if there's a highlight for you, we did it. Jamal Charles got cut from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Serta, who told me there's no way you can find a highlight of Jamal Charles, then found one. We did it. Two highlights. Jamal Charles get cut for the Jaguars. We gave him his montage. All right?
I enjoy montages.
I do.
Alcides Escobar.
That's from Vern's Hot Stove a calendar year ago.
And we do this. We say goodbye. We said goodbye to Bob Sutton. Serta just played Bob Dylan for long stretches in it because he just enjoys Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we've done it. Esky was one of the ones. Man, we had fun with it. That is our mark. Someone bounces, montages. Ron Parker got one. I cannot wait until Orlando Scandrick gets his. I looked in his eyes. I can tell he didn't want to do it. This was it. Was it as bad as it was the first time?
Alcides Escobar.
Hell yeah.
When that happens, they don't have to worry about it. You're right. Ground ball, deep, short. Escobar, long throw. Got him. What a play by Escobar. The 1-2. Esky does that, and he does even better with the base hit. Goodwin's going to come around and score, and the Royals go in front 8-3. Ball one on Moss, the pitch, and he'll swing, and he'll crush that one. Deep right field, and that ball's going to be out of here. It's a home run. It bounces back onto the field, but it is a home run for Moss. Pitch to Escobar. Drops the bunt. It's a good one. Gomez goes to third, throws it away. Here comes Goodwin with the winning run. The Royals win
really
it
4-3
in 10 innings.
And certainly this game, how they react early against a pretty good pitcher. And the first pitch, swinging as he always
did
does.
Did he just add
high ball left center.
You've got to be kidding
drop
me.
And roll away. And Escobar may circle the bases. He's rounding third. Here he comes, 1-0 Royals.
And you cut it. Oh, God, let the crowd keep going.
Hold on. Did you just, in between the commercial break, add on? You did more work in between the commercial break than.
No, I just did all that on the fly.
Yeah, he
I
just
didn't
did
actually
that
do
live.
It work. Yeah.
You think.
I just waited for it to end because I knew there was some music at the tail end.
Right. And then he played it over the top.
I was going to say. If he went through the commercial break, yeah, I don't know why I thought he would work that hard. But he did look it up. That is just ridiculous.
That's Steve.
Are you proud of that?
Yeah.
That's a Royals Hall of Famer, man.
I feel like I
he had so many great moments.
The way I added that at the end, I feel like that was spectacular. See, where I didn't come across that was I was just searching Esky earlier. Some people save it as Escobar. So, you know, their fault, not mine.
Still, even if you just searched Esky, I've got to believe there were more than the times he drove in Brian Goodwin.
From the 913, Steve probably thought he nailed it.
Godspeed, Alcides Escobar.
Okay. What a dismount that was. I can't remember what his was for Moustakas. I can't at all.
That's when it all started.
Was Moose? Oh, yeah, Moose was the first one. You probably gave it.
Because Witkowski had that great montage, and we knew Serta couldn't match that. So he said, let's just make a fun one.
620, I'm having a hard time understanding how you guys actually got your own show. Hey. Gotcha! I really... We agree. We really feel bad for Moose, don't we?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I feel bad for Moose. No, we'll get to that. I feel bad for Moose. 1 year, $10 million. That's what he deserves. I wouldn't give him more than that. But this was a guy that it was Haas and Moose. It was they're both obviously going to leave Kansas City after the 2016 season because Kansas City can't afford to pay him. Moose has made like $16 million since and is now a fat second baseman.
He's not.
I feel bad.
He's not a fat second baseman.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad.
He is down from where the big fella was.
But for a second baseman, he's a big fella.
Yeah, he's big as a second baseman. And so we were thinking once, because Moose, in my opinion, has...
Katie just texted me, do you remember when Esky...
This better be good, because you just cut this off.
When Esky flipped it to Omar.
Oh, against
Omar
the Indians?
Flipped it to him, and he barehanded, turned that double play.
Against the Indians? Yeah.
Do you know how many plays Esky made in his time in Kansas City? And we got a botched bunt against the White Sox that scored Tom Goodwin.
He had like four or five hits in like game four up in Toronto when he was the American League Championship Series MVP. And
I'm sorry.
I mean, there was just so much.
But the way we talk about Moose is the way we talk about Esky. They're both legends in this city. We're still talking about Moose, and he hasn't played here in a year.
I feel bad for Moose because I thought there was going to be a time once he was able to get signed that he was going to be able to come off of whatever diet that he's been on to keep, because he's done a really good job for changing his body and making himself more presentable or someone that the people, because a big question for him was in shape and his body and if he was too much of a lumbering cat. And he's lost some weight and he looks better than he did a few years ago. And I thought once he was able to sign his deal, he'd be able to kind of let himself go and just, you know, have a week where he can go and eat. Now, Vern, he's got to play second base. He can't go to Popeyes.
The worst moment.
God bless it. God.
The worst moment for Mike Moustakas. Who would have thought that breaking Steve Balboni's record would be a curse almost? Ever since he broke Steve Balboni's record, all he's been doing is being shafted
hard
by Major League Baseball. He had to limp back to Kansas City with his tail between his legs and sign for less than what he got the year before. He handles everything in stride with Kansas City and the trade to Milwaukee, performs well for the Brewers, won him a playoff game.
Witt's getting more than him.
Came through with the biggest hit that Milwaukee Brewers baseball had seen in damn near a decade. And they go, I guess we'll bring you back, but you got to move to second base. Oh, yeah. And you have to change your number, too. You should feel bad for Mike Moustakas.
He wanted to change to 11, he said. He couldn't have 8 for Ryan Braun, obviously. He wanted to change.
Why didn't he just have 11 last year then?
Because now he's got to double down on the staying in shape now, right?
Like it doesn't matter. Just say to hell with it.
Oh, so you're just saying to go
You're
to
never
hell.
Going to make more money than what you're making this year, Moose. You'll never make $10 million again.
So you don't think
again.
he should really try to get into it to be a second baseman?
No, man, he's turning 31 in September. It's all downhill.
Just say
to hell with it.
Well, it's the Royals last year. They started Adalberto Mondesi at second base. The Brewers are starting Moose.
What does that mean?
Just saying the size and the athlete of the two.
No, statistically, he'll be one of the biggest second basemen that we've seen in decades. 225 pounds at one of the key defensive positions. Right, you got to be strong up the middle. Second base up the middle.
Tough range. I just don't. Travis Shaw is moving to third. He's not better equipped to play second.
Apparently not.
I just feel bad because I thought he might be able to have just a real, you know, I know how it feels. A real week off of keto.
Well, he's a professional athlete. I don't think he ever takes a week off. Just, a week, Ron? You're taking eating, weeks off
I
out
felt
here?
Like, I felt like he could get a week off. After finally, I felt like for two years, he's been out here really trying and really getting his body in a place. And I felt like he could maybe just take a week off to really celebrate the new deal and not having to be so strict with his diet.
I have a feeling that once he put pen to paper this year.
He said to hell with it.
He said, I'm done. Like, I'm done with the focusing on my body. It's all, I'll be a DH moving forward if I have to, but now I'm a second baseman. I mean.
He probably got a double cheeseburger somewhere. You think from the text line, 816, not bad here. You think 11 makes Moose look thinner?
Yes. Thinner than 18, of course. Thinner than 8.
Thinner than 8? Yeah. The single makes you.
No, the 1.
But it's 2 of them. 11.
Yeah, 1-1.
11 makes him thinner than 8?
Yes.
I don't agree. I need to see him. 11. I can see 18. 18 makes you feel wider.
Right.
11, I feel like 8 does make him look thinner.
I think Jimmy Rollins was 11. Corey Hart was number 1.
Number one, yes.
Think about wide receivers that wear 11. Those are some skinny dudes.
But they don't seem thinner than a single digit.
Phil Sims? Remember how skinny Phil Sims looked?
I felt like every single digit.
Billy Joe Tolliver? Remember how skinny he was?
I feel like every single digit is thinner than 11.
Not 0 or 8.
I still stand by that, too. 0 and 8. What are you?
He's got something.
Oh, God.
Be careful of Serta here.
Just, what are you doing?
Good slider. Fastball.
The middle. Infante to Escobar. Unbelievable!
Yeah!
Are you kidding me?
All right. What a play.
No way you just whip that out.
You're truly pathetic.
That's all you got?
You're truly pathetic.
Hey, nice job, Steve. Way to step up
on
the pressure.
No, it's not. It was not under pressure.
Oh, so much pressure.
He was not under pressure like the great duet by Freddie Mercury, Queen, and David Bowie from the Hot Space album. No, he was not under pressure.
You know the name of the albums now?
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back in, brothers, sisters. Thank you for listening in to Show and Vern. Before we get to this, because I thought you had, and to be honest, I thought you had a really good question, a really great question involving Cam Newton that I think will really make folks think, and has made me think, and I think it'll be a really, really good conversation we'll have coming up here in a couple of minutes. What a tease that was.
Real quick, can I pass along condolences to the late, great Don Newcomb, one of the Brooklyn Dodgers that teamed up with Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson to bring Major League Baseball into a new day. Don Newcomb passing away today at the age of 92. Rest in peace to a legend.
Rest in peace to Don Newcomb. I don't know how to transition off of that, but I just will.
Don, damn.
Your favorite Don Newcomb memory?
The shot heard around the world when Ralph Branca came in and gave that up to Bobby Thompson.
Look at
ruined
you.
Don Newcomb's game.
The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant.
Newcomb pitched his ass off in that game.
Did he?
Yep.
That's one that I watched a couple of innings of. The old games that are on. They put on, hosted by.
You got too much time on your hands then.
Bob Costas. What? Bob Costas does host those. Those are great on MLB Network where they do those best. No, I saw this fella on this airport. And he got on the airport and he just wanted to just take his pants off.
Airplane,
excuse me. And he just took his pants right off. Just went to a place where.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. Lady sends it out. It says, the man in the seat across from me has taken his pants off for the flight.
Go ahead.
Oh, if you want to read it, you read it.
I will. Thank you. And it's just in his box.
I could just tell you were fumbling to find the tweets.
No,
I
wasn't
came to
fumbling.
Your aid.
I wasn't fumbling.
As you were filling and calling an airplane an airport.
I wasn't filling. Sometimes I make mistakes. Flight attendants seem unconcerned. This is going to be a long flight. I think I would address that person, Vern. I think I would address that person in a manner of
sure
ready. You don't even know what I'm going to say.
The fact that you said, I would address that person right away, whatever it ends with, whatever the dismount of that sentence is a lie. But go ahead, lie to the people.
I'll whoop your ass right here, Vern, just like I do that guy. Okay. I would address somebody in the airplane next to me in boxers. I would address that person in a way where I would be prepared to get physical. I'd hit him with a, hey, damn, dude, man, you need to put your pants on. And not in a nice manner. I would let it go to where we might get to a point where he may take some real umbrage with what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, and I'd be prepared to fight that guy. Right there.
Anyone on the plane or just the guy in the opposite seat from you? Like if he's four rows back, two rows ahead, he's not bothering you. He's not even in your line of sight. You're still trying to, quote unquote, fight this guy who just took his pants off.
If it's in view and I can really see this, and he's just going to sit there with his pants off with those boxers where the slit can come into play, yeah, I'd have a problem. And I'd say something to him.
And then you'd get kicked off the flight.
If it came down to it.
It's off the rundown.
Well, it's a lie. Off the rundown. It is not a lie. You wouldn't say anything to the guy? The guy just took his pants off right then and there and was just sitting in his drawers.
I abide by the rule. Mind your damn business.
That's not a mind your damn business. He's put his business out to us.
It's not in your face. Don't look over there.
Put your pants on. No, I'd say something.
Mind your damn business.
I'd say something to him.
I made this point months ago that people get way too damn comfortable on a plane and you ripped me apart. Called me an elitist. Said, can't be comfortable on a plane.
What was your version of comfortable?
I don't remember.
That have anything to do with taking off your pants and sitting in your drawers, did it? Where your penis could slide out.
You don't have control of your hog?
Some people don't.
Oh, stop.
But the reasoning that there are children on planes, the reason that you were sitting there in your drawers where that possibility could come, where a slide could come out. Or where you try to get up or make a turn where it may come out. I'm saying something to him.
But worry about yourself. That's what I would say. If I had my pants off on the plane and you're going to step to me like you're going to do something, say, mind your damn business.
No, I would step to him like.
Okay, then attack me and get your ass kicked off this flight.
I would have stepped to him. That's not attacking.
No, it's on the stewardess.
Well, if the stewardess ain't going to do anything, I'm going to say something about it. They got nobody just get on the plane and then take their pants off while we sitting here on the plane. Hell no. Yes. What are you doing?
Nothing. I just find it funny that you're going big again.
That I'm going big on what?
Yeah. It's just quite similar to what went down Thursday. Remember when you said, oh, I'm going to go to my wife's work. I'm going to crawl on all fours like Prince.
I wasn't allowed to.
We are going to kiss passionately onto the microphone.
Can I have a hug and a kiss?
I feel like you'll ask this guy for a hug and a kiss before the conversation's done.
I'm going to chip the other side of that tooth.
Bring it. I don't believe you have it.
Don't test me. Don't test me.
It's just we've been in this situation before.
We have?
Where you swell up in studio and act like you're going to do something. And then my man's sitting over there with just his boxers on. And then you'll be sitting there like a church mouse.
Oh, a church mouse. You know what? I'm not going to let you. I can see the look on your face and what you're trying to do. You want to push me and think I'm not about it? Try me, sucker.
No, I got no problem with you.
Try me. Try me. Try me.
Try you. What does that mean?
Yeah. It's like that time you wouldn't try to sing like Freddie Mercury.
Good call.
I've never positioned myself to say that I'm going to sing like Freddie Mercury.
Also you fair. Said it. Also fair.
Stay out of it, Scarecrow.
Is that me or him?
Huh?
Which one of us is a Scarecrow?
Both of you.
I figured. Look, would I enjoy a guy sitting across from me with just his underwear on?
You'd probably put your hand on his leg, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't. But I would be able to divert my eyes. I wouldn't be gazing at his meat the entire time.
No, that's disrespectful.
Wondering when it's going to pop out.
That's a take of disrespect. And if the stewardess and the people on the plane aren't going to say anything, hell yeah, I'm going to say something to them. 775, man, I'm going to wear a Speedo when the next plane show gets on. Try me, and I will be happy to tell you about your Speedo ass.
So are you on this plane by yourself? Because I feel like if you got your children or your wife with you, you're not going to be so confident in, I'll get kicked off this flight, and I'll meet you guys in Arizona.
Man, I don't care.
Like, you're going to spring training. If this dude sits across from you in the aisle, you're there with your family, you're going to risk being kicked off the plane and tell your family, I'll see you in surprise.
I'm there with my wife and kids. You're damn right. Even more. I'm going to say something.
But why can't you just let this man live with no pants on the plane?
No, he needs to go.
How is it bothering you?
That is very bothersome.
He's waving it in your wife's face or your daughter's face. Okay, you got a point.
No,
but if he's just sitting there, let him be.
No, that ain't no let him be.
You got to take your pants off. God knows you're going on all the time, but all the time your pants come off.
Not on the plane. You can't understand why I would. So you just assume people don't no pants on. You good with that? That's fine.
I'm not good with shoes off.
That'd be with you. But you wouldn't say nobody had any pants on sitting in that
drawer? I'm not saying anything about anybody. Just let them be.
Yeah, right. You came at me about, thank you, Clint. And then kiss my ass, Clint. You came at me about wearing sweatpants on the plane.
Right. But you're my coworker.
Wearing sweatpants on the plane is different than some dude with my wife and kids sitting there getting in the plane, unbuckling his pants, taking his pants off on the plane, and sitting there in his drawers. You keep trying to pull my card, like man, I'm going to end up whipping your ass. And I'm sorry, Katie. You could disinvite me to the wedding. I'm going to end up whipping your ass.
Don't
put your hands on me.
I am invited first. If you were sitting across the aisle from me in sweatpants, I wouldn't say anything. But because we talk to one another from 4 to 6 hours a day, I'm going to bring it up to you. But no, I wouldn't say anything to another patron on the plane. I'm going to let them live his or her life.
Yeah, that to me, yeah. Having someone live their life in sweatpants, Vern, is different than having someone live their life in their drawers. Now get to this damn Cam Newton question.
You and I have both sat here in our underwear and done a show for the whole first hour. Do you remember that?
We know each other. It's different. And I wouldn't do that in front of Katie and complete strangers.
The conversation this weekend of where Colin Kaepernick could land now that the collusion case is done. New England came up and Carolina came up, of course, because the Panthers signed Eric Reed to a contract, a new 3-year contract a couple of weeks ago as well. And with Cam Newton's injury last year, and there's even been reports that he might miss a portion, if not all, of this upcoming season. Colin Kaepernick could make sense to the Carolina Panthers, but how would Cam Newton handle that? I wonder if Cam Newton would be, because right now he is the Carolina Panthers. Case can be made. He is Charlotte Athletics. Colin Kaepernick comes into that organization. Suddenly it's not about Cam Newton's post-game press conference and what he's wearing and what he's saying. And no, the brightest of lights and the most cameras are going to be focused on Colin Kaepernick, whether he's the backup or he's playing for an injured Cam Newton or not. I don't know if Cam Newton would be willing to relinquish the spotlight that he has earned over this past decade.
See, I think Cam would deal with it. And I think Cam would actually thrive and would relish it. Because I think Cam sees himself as a leader and sees himself as someone who is really who really agrees with a lot of the things that Colin Kaepernick has discussed and talked about. Eric Reed, that's something that probably had to go through Cam as well. At least, you know, a conversation with Cam about Eric Reed coming and playing for him. See, I think Cam would look at this and handle it very similar in a way that Donovan McNabb looked and handled Michael Vick coming as someone that could be like a big brother type. And I think Cam really relishes stuff like that.
But Cam wouldn't be a big brother. Colin doesn't need a big brother.
I think Cam would look at it as, all right, this is somebody that is getting crushed and getting, but I'm going to step up there and be an ally to. Yes, I think that's the way Cam would look at it.
I think Cam would get schooled pretty quick. He's going to step up and start joining the movement?
No,
speaking on things?
Well, Cam already has spoken on things in terms of this, and he's gotten himself in trouble. What I'm saying is I think Cam would take the mantle of really being the guy that's stepping up and taking up for him. Because I'm the star. He would look at him as like, this is my teammate. This is my guy. Like I think Cam would take that as a big deal to him.
Protein Housey with the purpose text line 69306 from the 660. How are mesh shorts any different than boxers?
They're extremely different.
Fair question. Waiting for an answer.
They're extremely different.
They usually don't have a slot for you to, you know, pull it out.
Pull your penis out.
Okay, well, maybe this guy has a button on his boxers. Did you guys ever think of that?
And they're usually not the last line of defense.
Maybe he's got something on underneath it. You're just throwing a lot of judgment around.
No, that's now you're being stupid.
Oh, I'm stupid.
Now, come on. What's the difference
between... You're going to fight someone on the plane because of what they're wearing.
No, I said I would speak to him in
Either way, the boner's showing.
No, yeah. What's the difference between mesh pants and drawers? You don't know the difference?
Well, one is pants and the other one is underwear.
Okay. It's underwear and pants.
Do you want to see my underwear?
Yes. Badly.
Here.
Show him.
Old ass boxers.
Yeah, I'd say so too.
Those are my underwear. Hope you enjoyed it.
What about your damn mic?
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
As Vern steps out, I wonder when our... Oh, there he is. Coming back. Walking through and waving at everyone. I figure our first fist fight will be within the first year of us being together.
I don't fight.
That's not what your hand says.
Yeah, I was prior to 2012.
Is that where you change yourself?
Yeah. That's when I grew up.
Oh, good, man. Just don't wear no draws on the
2011.
Plane.
Excuse me.
2011, 2012, you come around.
2011, year of no fights.
And then you've been able to...
A mantra me and my buddy had.
And then you've been able to maintain that since.
That's right.
Good for you.
I've only got 1 year of fighting left in me.
What the hell was that?
Pretty good. That's what that was.
Wasn't.
We've got one more year.
Yeah.
Want to fight someone, fight him.
I'm about to turn 30. I can't be getting in fights when I'm 30.
Right. What happened? What was that laugh? I only got one more year of fighting left. What the? Did you trip?
It's true.
You knew it was a good line.
Kind of. And then he tripped over it.
That's right.
Yeah, coughed.
It's been a rough stretch here. It's been a rough 7 minutes.
That's because you're trying to pull something out of me. And as I said, baby, try me.
You're trying to act like you're going to fight everybody.
We're trying to push me there.
Okay. You're tough. I don't want to fight you, Ron.
I know it.
You're too tough for me.
Don't say it like that, Vern.
Oh, we all agree. We all talk about how tough you are. Everybody at the station. Speaking of that, everybody at the station coming up this weekend, we'll have the 6-10 Combine. Stop throwing stuff at me because you're mad. The 6-10 Combine's coming up this weekend. A vertical, the long jump, bench press, Wonderlic, 40-yard dash, all of us at 610 Sports Radio will be tested in those 5 feats, and you'll find out the results every day next week at 10:30. Monday, the vertical, then the long jump, bench press, Wonderlic, 40-yard dash as we culminate this bad boy next Friday. So Sunday it goes down. We learn the results with everyone in studio. Everyone from Fesco in the morning and the drive, they're all going to be in here 10:30. Monday through Friday, day by day, we unveil the results of each and every test. That should be some lively banter on Show and Vern.
It should be. Maybe you'll stop acting like Bill Self and stop screwing me over the way he's been screwing over LeGerald Vick. Just as gross as you've been the last 9 minutes.
Don't make this about me.
I think it's been that gross with Kansas and how they're treating and how they're trying to push and blame LeGerald Vick for all this. We're starting to see the setup. Fran Fraschilla in the game against West Virginia coming out and stating, I'm telling you, I think this team has a chance to maybe make a real deep run in the tournament. They're playing much positive, free. These last 3 games against, failing to leave this out, the 3 worst teams in the league possibly. They're playing freer. And I don't think LeGerald Vick is going to return. They're starting to do it. Bill Self is acting like a 9-year-old and coming out and subtweeting, basically saying stuff like, hey, I'm having so much fun the last 2 weeks coaching this team. I'm having so much fun seeing this team be more positive. And the thing that is going to be really sad and disgusting is he'll get the benefit of the doubt, even though he's not had the greatest year. There's been some sliminess with him. The way this is going down with Silvio D'Souza, Billy Preston last year, there have been players even beyond that have had issues where they have lost time or lost a season, and nothing ever happens to Bill or his coaching staff. We know for a fact that Curtis Townsend has been involved in something. And he has not missed a quarter of coaching. Not one. We've had players who have had to miss half, miss games because of missing of class or something. He hasn't missed. It's disgusting how they're gearing this up to try to blame on LeGerald Vick. And with all of the disgusting things that has happened with this program, players' futures being compromised, I believe, one part of the things that they've done, but also a big part of what's happening at that university. To go along with this, how they're about to place blame. Because if it's a have the hog to come out, if it is a real issue of he is detrimental to the program or you wanted him to be gone because he's been a problem, well, say it. Don't come out and say, oh, well, he's just having a leave of absence. And then out of nowhere, it's been reported that his mother has also expressed, we need him home right now. And we're saying there could be some possible physical problems if you read through Lala's texts, tweets, and stuff like that. No, you're going to hide behind all this. But then come out and say, basically, guys, it's been his fault. Look at this team's getting better after they beat a terrible Oklahoma State team. And TCU gave you a game on the road of which Bill was going to try to lose it with Quentin Grimes. And then you beat West Virginia, maybe the worst team in the conference. It's gross to me how they're going to try to blame this on him.
But he is acting like a CEO that makes $3 million every single season and wants to make sure that his stockholders are happy. Right? If this was professional sports, it would make sense. You use Silvio D'Souza as a pawn, not as a kid, but as a pawn for the NCAA. You blame LeGerald Vix for the missteps of the early part of the season. If this is professional sports, it all makes sense. Hey, you know, I'm the big dog. I'm the one that needs to continue to make this $3 million annually. I'm going to continue to treat my players as if they are employees. Right? Because it is somewhat similar to what the Chiefs did with Eric Berry, what they've done in the past with other players, where you use them as pawns, you present them in a fashion that reflects well on yourself, but maybe negatively on them, right? The Chiefs were always, well, once Eric Berry comes back, he'll be a real difference maker, knowing all the while Eric's not going to be able to come back more than likely, and if he does, he's not going to be a difference maker. It made Berry look bad, but made the Chiefs look good. He's doing the same thing with LeGerald Vick, and the reason why I have such a, not a hatred, but strong dislike for the makeup of college athletics is in every single facet, it's a business other than the fact that the employees don't get paid. But, the opposition will say, but they are compensated with room, board, and scholarship. Most people don't know that that's often a one-year deal. And as we're seeing with LeGerald Vick, you can just be sent home. Now, what we know is that his mother tweeted that he's needed in Memphis, but if the organization or the university is going to present it as if, hey, we're better off without him, I'm only smart to infer that you pushed him out that door. College athletics continue to want to have the best of both worlds. Live in the business world, act as if everything's about the bottom line, but then still hide behind the fact that they're kids. It's one or the other, Bill. Either you're a CEO of a company or you're going to start treating these kids as student athletes. Because right now, the way that you're presenting it, where they're all your employees, is very unbecoming and a horrible reflection of that program.
Yeah, the worst is that man had a chance to graduate from college and you almost, it appeared you pushed him out at the end of last year. But then when you needed him, you brought him back. Like that is just, the way this has been handled with them has been really gross. And now culminating, we're gonna make him the scapegoat. He's the blame. That's been disgusting. Coming up, the money shot and one of your favorite Royals were caught up in major tears that I'm not buying for a split second.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
From the 816, sorry, 913, I didn't realize you guys were the White Knight Show.
Hell yeah.
It's just telling it kind of how we perceive it.
Yeah. Mean
in
it.
Every way.
Mean what we say.
Yeah. In every way. And hard on everyone. I don't really care. Coming up behind us, The Drive. They are all back intact. Carrington Harrison, Brad Fanning, Brandon Kiley, BK, producing this bad boy. They should be coming up here at 1:58, so hang in for that. And the money shot here at 1:54, as always. Vern, this Eric Skoglund thing came out, and there are...
Props to Cody on making him cry.
Was it Cody that made him cry?
Nice job, Cody.
There's so many thoughts I had to this. When you play the audio for me, the multiple occasions, I think we should play it for the people.
You want to hear him crying about Dayton
Moore? When you play the audio, no, I mean, more about the situation.
Yeah.
Especially the part of Chick-fil-A and Chipotle.
You want to hear that right now?
I want to hear whatever you want. Just, I want to hear whatever the hell you want to play, you son of a bitch.
Able to identify where it came from?
We have no idea. And that was the hardest part. Something got into my body without me knowing. It was scary. And it just kind of makes you think, you know, what could it have been? And that's the hardest part to deal with, is not knowing. Because I'm not a guy that's going to cheat the game. I didn't do anything maliciously. It's not the type of person I am. It's not my character. It's not how I was raised. So it sucks. And we couldn't find anything, and that's what's going to eat me for the rest of my career, and it's not a good feeling at all.
What's the theory? Is it like a protein shake, vitamins?
I wish I had an answer. I mean, I went to Smoothie King like twice, but I don't think, I really don't know what it could have been. If I would have known, I would have appealed it. I would have tried to fight it in any way I could. I was obsessed with the bank statements and trying to find anything that I ate that was unique or out of the ordinary. But I think the most I did was eat Chick-fil-A or Chipotle was, you know, the one of the things that was like fast food related. Other than that, I didn't change the way I ate from this year to previous years. There's no difference.
That's Eric Skoglund, as our Cody Tapp is live from Surprise, Arizona. Eric Skoglund popped 80 games for a banned substance.
And on the way to that, he is throwing several establishments under the bus that we would welcome you to sponsor any of our segments. Smoothie King, you got a nod to throwing under the Eric Skoglund bus. Chipotle, you slid under the Eric Skoglund bus. And the tough one there, Chick-fil-A.
Number two, Deluxe.
Listen. You can choose to believe Eric if you want to, or you can go into this if you want to in any way. I have no I don't feel bad for him in any way. This thing has become extremely serious in terms of the amount of times they test, what they're testing for. They know exactly what you're testing for. And generally, when we see this case, when people get popped for it, they are floored. A lot of ex-Royals who have this has happened to are floored when it happens. Man, you're going to tell us you didn't go into some damn Smoothie King, Chick-fil-A, and Chipotle, and you don't know what the hell happened? Like, let's just go off the basis, Vern, of you don't remember what you put in your body. You don't, in this situation, you should know. In this situation, unless something comes out where they say we failed and messed up and we looked at the wrong test, which I don't think they will, you don't get to get a pass because you're ignorant. You should be knowing exactly what's going into your box, into your body, excuse me. And that too. You should know exactly what's going inside your body. And I don't give no pass or feel sorry for you. And now you're coming out blaming a Smoothie King.
No, he didn't blame it.
Chipotle.
No, he didn't blame those.
Why bring those names up?
Because they were asking.
That was only
him.
The only thing I've eaten.
Yeah, he wasn't blaming
Smoothie King, Chipotle, and
He never blamed them. He just said, I've went back and looked at everything that I ingested this offseason, and I can't make heads or tails as to why I failed this test.
You bet, Chief.
He did cry, though.
It was a relief. I was just going through a lot the past couple months because I knew I didn't do anything maliciously. So having his support was a good feeling for me. Him knowing who I am personally, and for me to have to accept an 80-game suspension for something I didn't maliciously do. So it was a relief to finally be able to tell someone and speak about it, and having his support definitely helped.
Yeah, as I tell my kids, Vern, your tears, when they do something and they're in trouble, your tears aren't swaying me. I'm sorry. I mean, either way, whether he knowingly put a substance in or he
didn't. Unknowingly took the substance, you have no sympathy?
No. You have to know what's going on in your body. Mm. Right? And no, I don't have any for that. Because I don't, like, what would it be, something over the counter? What are we talking about that would be something over the counter that would pop a drug test? Like, what these guys right now and today in 2019, these guys should be all over everything that they're ingesting in their body. Everything that they're ingesting in their body, from cold medicine to anything, they should be all over it. They know exactly what it is.
I don't know if it's because I covered Skoglund or was around the Royals or I know Dayton and trust Dayton. It's not the tears. I don't know. I find myself torn on this. I was talking with Cody this weekend. He said being there, it was believable. It didn't seem as if this guy was crying for the camera or putting on for the microphones. But I've heard dozens and dozens of baseball players say, I didn't do this maliciously and I respect the game, and this isn't how I was raised, and, I took vitamins or smoothie.
The game. Money Shot.
All right, let's finish with the bang. The Money Shot brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for mostly not Jewish city. It's open in the Crossroads. It is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Show, finish them off.
I will. Somebody didn't text in. The reason why he's crying is because the baseball writers will not vote him in the Hall of Fame now. That was coming down the pipe for Big Eric Skoglund. Like he was going to the hole.
Skogs.
Yeah, boy. Skoglund. Hey, is the ultimate sign of disrespect if you're a basketball coach and you normally wear a tie, but in the game you play against me, you just wear a straight button-up shirt, no tie, basically signaling to me that you don't really think this is a big game? I really feel like Tom Izzo disrespected Ohio State in that manner. Tom Izzo always wears a tie and is always clean. CBS game, whatever. He came, no tie. That's the ultimate sign of disrespect to me, to start the game as a coach. You ain't going to wear no tie? You ain't going to wear no tie? You always wear a tie, Tom Izzo. If Bill Self, that's Washburn. Like, that's some stuff that Bill – like, if Bill Self did that to Bruce Weber, that would be terrible. That would be the ultimate sign of disrespect.
I'd like to think of Tom Izzo walking out of his coach's room, seeing a rack of ties and saying, nah, not today. If Jim Tressel did
– Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
How would you like your tax return money early? How does receiving a portion of your tax –
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.